What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I have an issue that I don't think Tiki has thought about. I don't think Sean has thought about. But that's the difference between me and them. I'm a working man's man.
Oh, oh here, stop it. Here we go, Teague.
I don't want to hear this. What are you going off on now?
On Saturday, that is tomorrow, the New York Jets are taking on the New York Giants in what has been called the Snoopy Bowl, a game you'll hear right here on the Fan. Teague, you'll be doing the pregame.
And postgame.
And the postgame.
And halftime.
And halftime. This is a game that season ticket holders are forced to buy. If you're a Giant fan, obviously this is a Giant home game, so not my problem, but I like looking out for everybody. It's also a game that is currently listed on every secondary market. You go on SeatGeek, you go on Ticketmaster's app, it's out there. And the tickets are not cheap. Like, the cheapest get-in price is about $35, which, yeah, maybe cheaper compared to a regular season football game, but it's still expensive. And I know there are people listening who are maybe planning on going to the game. A coworker of ours said, yeah, my daughter keeps asking me to go to a football game. Do you think this is a good one to go to? No pressure. It's the summer. And here's the problem. I'm building this all up to tell you, both franchises refuse to tell us, the customer, who is playing. And there's something wrong about that. Like, there's no competitive edge. It's a preseason game. The Jets and Giants aren't even playing each other in the regular season. So, as people are making decisions on, should I sell my tickets? Should I go to the game? Should I buy tickets? What should I do? I just don't think this is fair. And I think the NFL needs to do something about this, because I am a Jet fan. You are Giant fans. We do not know, because our coaches won't tell us anything, who's playing in the game. And that could cause someone to say, I'm going or not going, and it needs to change.
But I think what's most likely happening, and I don't know this because I wasn't paying attention when I was playing during the preseason, because it was more prescribed when I was in the league. This is who's going to play. And it was kind of common throughout the league. You're going to play a series in the first game. You're going to play maybe three series in the second game. You're going to go through halftime. So play one series after halftime in the third game. And then the fourth game, you're chilling. You're not doing anything.
Right.
It's just for the guys who are trying to make the team and show their last best effort before cutdown day. But nowadays, what I think is also happening in addition to what I was just alluding to, is that coaches are trying to get into like in season mode. They're trying to like learn how they're going to say whatever they're going to say. And I'm barely joking about this, but it's practice on how to say nothing. It's practice on how to not give the opponent, even though you just practice against them twice at each other's respective home facilities, like how not to give the other team the competitive advantage. And so it's like a media manipulation that happens all season long. It's just in the preseason, we don't really care. We don't really pay attention to it. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it only matters to those that are making decisions on if they're going to go to the game or not.
Yeah, but if you're going to go, you're going to go. If you're not, you're not.
I don't know about that, man.
Yeah, man, if you're going to go to this game, you almost have to go assuming. I'm not seeing the starters.
Yes,
I'm going.
That's right.
I'm going.
And if you are seeing the starters, it's going to be for a series or
right.
two.
I'm going either because it's slightly cheaper than a regular season game to take family, and I have the less pressure, or I'm going to work out the kinks for my season-long tailgate. Does the skirt steak marinate work here? Does this do that?
It's the preseason for the tailgate.
It is,
though. And I might glimpse Tiki Barber on the sideline.
That's true. Is that where you watch the game, on the sidelines?
No, I'll be everywhere.
The booth is the best view.
Right.
You get the bird's eye view. Your view on it is very healthy. Like, I'm not saying that's not the attitude you should have, but I do think that there are consumers out there right now who would like to know what I'm watching if I go to MetLife Stadium on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are plenty that have the right attitude.
And you're not going to find out until tomorrow morning.
No, I know. Not going to find out anything. And Aaron Glenn sort of surprised me, because before the first preseason game, he was pretty, like, straightforward. Like, yeah, they're going to play. And then 2 days ago in his last media meeting that he had, press conference, he basically said nothing. He's like, I don't know. We'll see. And so that part is...
I think him and Dave's might decide it tomorrow morning.
They're going to decide together?
Yeah.
I also,
like they're friends?
I mean, I'm serious. They're not friends, but they're colleagues.
You also said this is a Who's ticket holder event, a Giant ticket holder event, right? This is a Giant home game.
Oh, you have it. Sorry, yes. I was talking about a read.
Yeah, we got
Go
it.
Ahead.
Sorry, he couldn't hear you because I was talking. Oh. That's how that works.
My right. apologies. Go ahead.
The Giant ticket holder, it's their game. Yes, there's going to be Jet fans that go, and you right. can share in that event. The Giant ticket holder knows, no matter what tomorrow, you're seeing Jackson Dart.
No, that's an advantage the Giants do have.
So yeah. to me, if I'm a Giant fan that's elected to go to this game, yes, it would be cool to see everybody play. But at the very least, it is their first opportunity to see a guy, a first-round pick was spent on at quarterback, and that's a win for somebody going to the game
And you're
tomorrow.
Likely also to see Abdul Carter
play right.
more than whatever it was, 8 snaps.
Are we? Played. Do we know that?
He's a rookie.
What does that mean?
That means you don't just get the chill. I know you're already a star in people's minds, but you're a rookie. You haven't proven anything yet. You had 3 good pass rushing reps in game 1. You're still a rookie. So I think we will see Abdul Carter.
All right.
And it should be fun.
And while you're in the car going to the game tomorrow, you listen to me. I'm on 1 to 6 p.m.
1 to 6?
Yeah.
What are you, Francesa?
Apparently. If only I had money to buy a horse.
1 to 6 by yourself?
1 to 6. The Great Art Stapleton will join me at 5. He'll give you the whole inactives list.
Nice.
What
like
time
it.
Is Costello coming on? You got to be equal opportunity.
I got to talk to my producer who's done nothing but complain that, you know, I'm doing 5 hours with him tomorrow.
Mm. I mean, you can't just do a Giants spot. I got to do a Jets spot, too. You got to be fair.
The Giants stink.
That is my plan, Evan, to
Are
do
you?
A Jets spot.
Are you? Are you going to do... Giants for like an hour and the Jets for an hour.
Well, I'm gonna
mix it up.
We're gonna mix it up. We're gonna mix it up. We're gonna do some baseball early. Then you know when Richard in Manhattan is called 3 times, we'll do the football calls. Yeah,
doesn't college football start this weekend?
No, next weekend.
Next week.
We got a big game in Ireland.
Oh, very nice.
That's right. NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always, always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
I do have an ethical question that hopefully you guys can handle. So the Jets only have 1 preseason game that they stuck us to as season ticket holders. It's the Jets-Eagles game. There's no market for that. Like, people are not buying those tickets.
And that's the third. That's the third.
That's
one.
The last one.
And it's on Friday.
Friday night.
That's rough, dude.
And I'm out of town.
That's rough.
So I can't go. I can't sell it. Is it unethical for me to offer these tickets to a man I know who is an Eagles fan? Is that okay? Because it's the preseason. Yeah. No harm, no foul.
I think that's great.
Okay. Right. He'll get to see the, you know, fifth string.
No, no, he gets to see nothing. I just like handing over my tickets to an opposing fan.
Yeah.
Feels dirty. Selling it's one thing. Hey, green is green. Right. You know what I mean? Money's like, money.
Jody Mack's earned a free ticket. Just give it to him.
Jody Mack's not an Eagles fan.
Not an Eagles fan.
He's a Cowboys and Jets fan, which has always been peculiar. Yeah. But he's not an Eagles fan.
And Jody Mack, I know, used to drink out of Kevin Cobb four-year-old Wawa cups and seemed to really lean Eagle heavy.
Kevin Cobb.
That was his famous go-to. Wow. Jody Mack would come in here with the same Wawa cup he must have got as a promo giveaway for years
ago. But Jody, who was on this radio station for a long time, you'll still hear him occasionally, is a Jet fan. Mm. And I think he's a Cowboy fan, too. He's not an Eagle fan.
No, I am a big Tiffany Stratton fan. I believe in Tiffy time.
I mean, who isn't?
I don't even know who that is.
She's a women's wrestler. She's world champion. Jet, not a fan of Tiffy time, by the way. Very strongly, not a fan of her.
Really?
No. More of a Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I was not like Tiffy time.
Meds suck.
Jody Mack, on the other hand.
Well, it just shows you the age swing there, huh?
Clearly. Let's go to Connie in Jackson Heights. Now, before we say hi to Connie, Connie was at the Beatles concert at Shea Stadium back in 1964. Hello, Connie.
Hey, Connie. Yes.
Hi, everybody. Yes, I was. I was 14 years old, and my mom somehow wrangled me a ticket, and I was up on row H, upper deck. I think it was seat 8. It was an amazing experience. I'll never forget, really.
Wow. Very, very cool. How was the weather that night? Right. Like, was it hot? Do you remember, like, the specifics of the evening?
It was, the weather was good. It was probably in the low 80s or something. It wasn't too hot. And I'll never forget when Ed Sullivan introduced them, they came out and they were wearing kind of orangish jackets. And I'll never forget watching them going across the field onto the stage. And it was just the screams of all those girls. I wasn't a screamer. I was a crier.
Right. Wait, Connie, were you a Beatles fan before, or did you become a bigger one after?
I became a Beatles fan February 9th, 1964, from the Ed Sullivan Show. I'm still a Beatles fan. I am a passionate Mets and Beatles fan. And I just want to say that I care about Paul McCartney.
Yes.
And Ringo Starr.
There you go. Sean, there you go.
They changed my life.
I love
really.
That. I love that. So this night is for you. Steve Cohen is doing this for the fans like you. It's pretty awesome.
Yes. And I am. In fact, I wrote to Steve Cohen on Twitter, and I suggested it. And I guess a lot of other people did, too. Because it was, and it's so perfect because they're giving away the replicas of Shea Stadium.
Yeah, which is so interesting because I saw that giveaway when they announced the schedule back in like February, the promotional schedule. And so I saw the Shea Stadium replica and I was like, that's awesome. And there was never anything attached to the Beatles.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it was a late addition. And maybe it was Connie who wrote the email to Steve Cohen and said, let's do it.
That can't be a coincidence, dude. The exact night. It's not like they're just honoring because of the year. This is the exact date of the anniversary.
Right.
By the way, Steve Cohen is so strange on social media. So earlier this morning, at about 9:14 a.m., Andy Martino of SNY tweeted a very, whatever tweet. He writes, Mets fans are really showing up. Incredible energy at the ballpark this week. For those of us who were there in, say, 2011 or 2012, the difference is remarkable. Why am I having a trouble reading his tweet?
Because your mind is on vacation.
Already. Is that what?
Yes.
Maybe.
Your mind is halfway in Virginia right now.
Still time for the team itself to give these fans the show they're expecting. So whatever, like a regular tweet about how they're drawing really well. And hey, don't worry, there's still time for the Mets to, be awesome.
Right.
Okay?
Right, because really all that matters right now is the postseason.
Yeah.
Get there and do well.
Fine. Whatever tweet by Andy Martino. Mm-hmm. Steve Cohen, about 15 minutes later, tweets this. Just tweets this.
Right.
Andy, comma. The fans have been great.
But not at Andy.
No, not at Andy. Just a tweet that he fired off. Andy, the fans have been great. They are bringing real energy to the stadium. I asked them to come out, and they did. Thank you. And it was like, did you mean to text that to Martino? Did you mean to DM it? And what was the point of it?
Right. So you're thinking he thought he was on... like his text messaging app?
I think so.
As opposed to Twitter?
Yeah. I think he thought he was texting Andy Martino. And luckily for Steve, it's a nothing message. Like, yeah, the fans showed up. I told him to show up. Great.
I know what maybe happened.
What?
Hey Siri, write Andy Martino. And he writes and he thinks it's just a text.
Right.
Instead, it goes to Twitter.
And it goes to Twitter. That's dangerous.
It's very dangerous.
Be careful.
That could happen.
I hope.
So many people text. Whatever, they voice to text,
yeah.
100%.
I think we could all agree. I hope he meant to DM or text Andy Martino that, because if he's just tweeting and thinks how that's how Twitter, and he knows better, that just screams everybody's mom reaches that moment on Facebook, and you're like, ooh, you're a little old for
well,
this.
Well, and even though there's nothing wrong.
Time for us kids to get off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, he might have signaled, we need to be off Twitter.
He didn't say anything wrong here. The fans have been great. I asked them to come. They did. But the responses from Met fans, and you could predict it, are all the same, which is, we did our job, what about you?
Yeah.
And that's
but I mean, he did do his job.
No, I know, that's what I'm conflicted about. Like, I'm not mad at Steve Cohen. Like, what did he not do that we wanted him to do? They added Juan Soto, we kept Pete Alonso.
Right, you wanted those two guys, and they're here.
And he allowed his team president to do what he wanted to do. Now, are the returns good enough so far? Absolutely not. But I think what Steve has to worry about is a worry. Is the Mets and not the Yankees. The Yankees could just accidentally average 40,000 a game. They've been doing it for years. The Mets off a bad season, and this could be a bad season. It's on its way. And a lackluster offseason, which could very well be the case, especially if they lose Pete Alonso, they're not drawing 40,000 every night next year. Mm-hmm. Like the idea that, well, they added Soto, Cohen's the king, and that's it. You got to win, and you got to keep the fans engaged. So if they fail out this year,
right.
I'm not even sure what the offseason would need to entail to keep the fans showing.
Certainly not losing Pete Alonso.
No, losing Pete would be a tough blow.
Yeah. Huge one, I think.
It really would. And
if,
no matter
if you don't make the postseason and it feels like, well, that was a waste.
Because here's the thing that you have to battle. Because you said something way earlier in the show. You could rewind on the Odyssey app with the Mets struggling. You said, hey, if they miss the playoffs, what do you do during the offseason? Mm-hmm. And I very quickly said, I have not thought about the offseason. I'm not there yet. And I don't have a great answer. But here's what I could tell you. Taking Pete Alonso, who has been their best hitter this season, and that's a fact. If you've watched him, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't cite me stats. Soto's OPS is just as good. Pete Alonso has had a more impactful season than Juan Soto. Losing him to an offense that's underachieved, it's a tough sell for that to be the headline of the offseason.
Right, and then not really wanting to... Who else are you going to get is the question. That becomes, if Pete goes someplace else, like you suggested, someone offers him way too much, what's the pivot
for
Mets that's as good or better? And there isn't one.
Well, there are guys that are good, but it would be tough to sell it to your fans. You know, is Murakami better than Pete Alonso? We have no idea.
I don't know. He went 0-for-3 the last time David Stearns was there. Let me check and see what he did today.
that's not gonna matter. I am being accused of a sports crime.
Uh-oh.
Diego in East Meadow would like to prosecute little old Evan Roberts. What's up, Diego?
Hey, boys.
What's up?
What's up, man?
If my memory serves me correct, you guys charged Sean with crimes against Sports something last year.
Yeah, sports manager.
Off his Twitter or something. Yeah,
right. Yes. He skipped the
Evan
podium.
Evan Roberts. Exactly. Evan Roberts, you cannot give those tickets away to an Eagles fan. That is the ultimate sin, and you will never be forgiven. Probably the reason the Mets won't make the playoffs this year.
But what if he's a close friend? What if he's a close friend?
It doesn't matter.
But it's a preseason game. Like, does that not...
It does not matter. You cannot give that away to someone from Philadelphia.
Wow. That's pretty harsh. Do you agree?
Maybe charge him like $5.
That's horrible. I think that's worse than like giving it to someone for free.
Well, it is. As much as I want to join in, I don't like these Philly people. It's the third preseason game.
Right.
If some Eagle fan is that pathetic that they're going to want to go watch Tanner McKee run around, which all due respect to your friend, they just let him.
I'd go watch Tanner McKee.
All right.
I'm telling you, that kid's going to be good.
See?
I'm telling you.
There's something to watch.
Tanner McKee was a highly recruited quarterback. He went to Stanford when they were good. Then he went on a mission to Portugal because he's Mormon.
Yep.
He came back and they stunk. And so he was like 6-12 or whatever his record was over his last couple of years. But he's massive. 6'6". He's like 230, put together, smart as hell, has a cannon for an arm. I like watching that kid play. Because he played the last regular season game against the Giants,
and we called it.
I was so impressed watching him throw the ball.
Do you remember, I'm not sure you do, remember this guy that used to work here? He's in Philly now, Spike Eskin. You remember that guy?
Of course I do.
Spike Eskin does afternoons in Philadelphia, and he got everyone all like revved up because he said he would not trade Tanner McKee for 2 first-round picks.
Really?
Yes. Well, but you love Tanner McKee. Yeah. I thought you were going to back him up and say he's right.
But you have Jalen Hurts.
Well, what if Jalen Hurts flames out?
Jalen Hurts has already won a Super Bowl is a Super Bowl MVP.
He's been to 2 Super Bowls.
And he should have been the Super Bowl MVP in the one game they lost.
All right, so you would trade Tanner McKee for 2 number 1s?
If someone's offering me 2 number 1s, and by the way, I'm not saying he's worth it, but he might prove to be, you'd absolutely take it.
You know what's funny about a great quarterback, and I have no idea if Tanner McKee's ever going to become that, the odds are no.
Yeah, because he's just not going to play.
Right, and when's that opportunity going to come? If you find a great quarterback, whether it's Jackson Dart or it's whomever, they are worth whatever the price is.
100%.
It could be 5 first-round picks.
I 100% agree with you. If he's not even necessarily, let's call it great and a Super Bowl winner, but he's your quarterback for a decade, He's worth it.
Well, I'll ask you a question. I know that's not allowed, but it's a hypothetical question to kind of prove my point. Kansas City Chiefs decide privately we're done with Mahomes. Mm-hmm. You know, we've won a lot. We're done. We're going to think about the future. And we are going to trade Patrick Mahomes for as many first-round picks as we can. And let's assume there are no restrictions. Mm-hmm. The team can trade whatever they want. If you're the New York Jets, would you offer first-round picks for the next 25 consecutive seasons for Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, man.
That's a great question, right?
And there's so when you're talking about like next year.
No, like right now.
Right now.
Right now. They call you up and they say, the next 25 years in perpetuity, we get your first round picks.
I wouldn't do it that, but I would say until he retires.
Okay, so 10.
Yeah.
You go 10.
I would do that.
How far would you go, Sean?
I'd do the 25 and a heartbeat.
You do 25?
25 is a long time, dude.
But think about if you're a Jet fan, your entire life you spent without this.
Your kids are working.
I don't care.
By then.
I have a surefire franchise quarterback that I may never have.
No, I know.
There's no guarantee you're ever drafting one. And he's still young enough. Mm. I'm doing it.
Now, just so you know, the restrictions in the NFL, and I wasn't even aware of this. I looked it up recently, is that you can only trade over the next three drafts.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the NFL.
All right.
In the NBA, I think it's nine because the Nets just acquired a 2032 second.
The Nets
NBA
have tested
is so convoluted. It frustrates me when I even think about trades.
Now, they do have the Stepien rule. You know what that is?
No.
You can't trade firsts in back-to-back years.
Yes, yes.
That's why you have the pick swaps.
I didn't know it was called the Stepien rule.
Yeah. Maybe I made that up. is the Stepien rule the... No, I got that right, right? It's the Stepien rule. Can you just back me up on this, Sean? Look it up.
I see no fingers typing to look up on Google.
I have to do everything
myself.
Rosie's
sitting there dumbfounded.
Oh, yes, it's the Stepien rule. It's right after Ted Stepien.
Of Stepien's habit of trading draft picks.
Yes, cannot trade in first-round picks in consecutive years. Okay, thank you. I was right, but you called. You made me nervous.
I just didn't. I've never heard of it.
You made me nervous about my knowledge.
I knew it was the rule. I didn't know what it was called.
About Ted Stepien.
In the new CBA... The NFL announces no restrictions. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are restrictions. I get that.
Right.
You'd go 25 years, Sean?
Absolutely.
Would you go 30?
I mean, at that point, I've gone 25, right?
Would you go 50?
Nah, you can't do 50, because that's not fair to your grandkids.
That's not fair. So your cutoff is 30. I'll go 30.
Yeah, I think 30's fair. And again, I'm being selfish. At that point,
I'm
50.
I'm going length of his career. That's all I'd be willing
to
do.
That's a very fair point by Tiki, by the way. And that's probably the fairest answer in terms of value and if it being worth it.
And by the way, it would be worth it to Kansas City, and it would be worth it to the Jets.
It would not be. No, I disagree. It would not be worth it to Kansas City if they don't find a replacement.
But they have 10 years to find one.
Well, it doesn't mean you're going to get it. It doesn't mean, like, you're right. The odds are better, you will.
By the way, the only way I think this happens is if Andy Reid is out, like, retiring.
Well, it's not going to happen because there's rules against it.
If this was a hypothetical, you'd only do it because you're remaking everything.
Right.
New philosophy, new ideas, whatever was there is now gone. We need to do something different. All right, Pat, sorry, you're not in the plan. Let's get 10 years of picks for you.
I'm telling everybody listening right now, it's a summer Friday. This is the perfect beer, we're having a drink at the bar discussion. And you sound smart by initiating by saying, look, I know this isn't allowed. You can't trade picks 4 years down the road. Mm-hmm. I get that, whatever. All right? I don't need a smart ass correcting me. But guys, how many consecutive years of firsts would you trade for Patrick Mahomes? That is the perfect beer bar discussion.
Right? Mr. Smiles Muhi.
I'm telling you. What are you doing
because
this weekend?
It makes you think back to Ricky, right? Ricky Williams.
Oh, my God.
Whole draft.
Herschel Walker.
Right. Well, Herschel wasn't like Ricky. Ricky was the whole draft class, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Ditka moved him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The whole draft.
And that's for running backs.
For a running back.
Right.
Think about how valuable he used to be.
I know. What happened?
No idea.
But with a quarterback, I think Tiki actually gave the greatest answer. I think you nailed it. If it was allowed, it's not allowed. I would give you a first for as long as his career is active.
Right.
But you know why you don't like that deal? Because as long as his career is active, those firsts could be the 32nd pick in every draft.
Oh, so you're saying the team wouldn't do it?
Yeah, on the reverse of, I understand why Tiki's saying that. I need a little past his career retires because I want the comeback of, I gave this up. I need the pick not to be basically a version of an early second rounder.
Yeah.
You got to double his career. So if it's 10, it's actually 20.
I think Evan stumbled on the greatest pre-football argument you could have.
I'm telling you.
This is great.
It's a stupid argument because it can't happen. It is so much fun to debate how many years of
matter fact, you want to give. Matter of fact, what is my show tomorrow? 8 hours? I'm going to brush this off in a 3 o'clock hour tomorrow.
That could be your open. All right, Jet fans. See, the problem is the reason I didn't pose it to you, Sean, you are so in love with your kid quarterback,
nope.
Jackson Dart.
I trade him Dart and the next 30 first rounders from Mahomes.
Whoa!
Are you kidding me?
Really?
It's maybe the greatest quarterback of all freaking time still in his prime. Are you out of your mind?
I am not out of my mind. I am surprised. I thought you were going to go full homer.
Love Jackson Dart, but I'm getting a surefire bet. Are you kidding me?
So you would try. Let me get this straight. I'm writing this down, Teak. Jackson Dart to Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
And the next 30 years of first-round picks.
No chance.
For Patrick Mahomes.
I'm too interested to see what Jackson Dart does.
Oh, Teaky. Come on.
No.
You getting Patrick Mahomes?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Chiefs got to throw in that stupid mascot tuba.
Is he winning you a world championship in 2 years?
Oh, you're winning a Super Bowl, yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
We got the offensive line to do that?
Not yet, but you will.
Okay.
Got a lot of second rounders.
He got to the Super Bowl with a garbage offensive line.
True.
And you have the greatest pass rush ever assembled.
And one of the best coaches.
Oh, wait. I'm going to add to the bar question. The greatest coaches. Yeah, give me a break. You talking about Dable?
No.
Oh, Andy Reid. Yeah, no, I got you. I'm going to add to the bar question, Sean.
Okay.
Kansas City has said, okay, we are very interested. In fact, it doesn't have to be 30 drafts, 25 drafts. We want Jackson Dart, but we need Abdul Carter.
That's where I hang up the phone.
Come on!
Let's be honest.
What?
There is one player in the NFL who might go down as a greater player all the time than Patrick Mahomes. His name's Abdul Carter. I cannot do that.
All right. We're going to play the game a little... Abdul Carter straight up for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That you're doing?
Yes.
Okay. Abdul Carter in the next 5 first-round picks for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Abdul Carter in the next 10 first-round picks for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, because then I'll take Jackson Dart, flip him for 3 first rounds back, and it's like 7.
Let's go to Gary in Nashville, Tennessee. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Evan.
Yo.
And guys.
What's happening?
What's up?
So I think A-Rod as manager of the Yankees is a great idea. And while we're at it, we should hire Carl Pavano to be the pitching coach, Joey Gallo to be the hitting coach, and maybe Gary Sanchez to be the catching coach.
You know, I kind of resent I resent this phone call a little bit, Gary.
Evan, Yankee fans, I'm not every Yankee fan, but at least 50% hate A-Rod. I wouldn't watch the games if he was the coach.
Well, okay,
yeah, but he's not playing.
Yeah, he's not playing. I don't agree with you that 50% of Yankee fans hate him. And my point... This is the problem when you make a point that no one will listen to. It's just the flashiness of, A-Rod is the manager. You're an idiot. My point to you is this man lives, eats, and breathes the sport.
Right.
Okay? I think he'd be good at it. I think he'd be invested in it. And I also think that the distractions that he would cause would actually take attention away from the team.
Right. They'd be a good thing.
You calling up this radio station, and I think that was very disrespectful. Not to me. I don't care. To disrespect Alex Rodriguez by equating him to Joey Gallo and Carl Pavano is borderline a crime against Yankee fandom.
Mm.
Like, you can't do that. The guy won you a World Series. You don't have to love him. But to say, oh, I got this, Evan, you smartass. A-Rod's the manager. Joey Gallo's the hitting coach. Joey Gallo is not a pimple on the fanny of Alex Rodriguez.
Did he say Joey Gallo? I think he meant Joey Callow.
Callow. Oh, Joey
C-A-L-L-O.
C-A-L-L.
Is that what he said?
No.
Come on, Evan.
Evan.
Oh, the pimple?
No.
No.
Oh, my God.
What am I missing?
My cousin Vinny, dude.
Oh, I didn't see it.
What?
All right.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
888-808-1010.
Yeah, we'll be back after a minute.
The defense is wrong.
Is that really that bad that I didn't see it?
Yes.
Dude, anybody says Joey Gallo, it's immediately what you think.
What's it about?
My cousin Vinny?
It's about two Utes who get arrested in this podunk town, and they call their cousin, or at least Vinny, to come bail them out because he's a lawyer. He's the only one they know, and he's a terrible lawyer, but he figures it out.
And does not have like.
And Marissa Tomei is the assistant.
Marissa Tomei won an Oscar for this performance.
Amazing.
What streaming service is it on? I'll watch it this weekend.
Hmm.
I could find that out for you. I actually
I'll give you a full review when I get back. Yeah, like I'm open. I'm open to watching movies I haven't seen. I did that with Craig a few years ago, and I watched a lot of great movies.
It's classic and it holds up.
It's it's a remote drop. When that's on the TV, you drop the remote and you laugh for 2 hours.
Okay.
It looks like Hulu, Disney Plus have it, and you can rent it on Prime.
Well, I'm not renting it. I don't believe in renting movies anymore. Because
when you have streaming services as much as we pay for them, you don't rent.
Dude, yeah,
you don't rent.
You have season tickets to the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Jets.
Nah, you're missing the point,
bro. It's $3.99.
Sean didn't listen to what Tiki just said. And Tiki nailed something that's very, very important and near and dear to both of our hearts.
Right.
Okay? It is not about the $3.99, okay? Mm-hmm. Yes, I can pay $3.99. I'm not that cheap. Tiki can pay $3.99. He's not that cheap. It is the moral of we are paying for Hulu. We are paying for Paramount. We are paying for Peacock. We are paying for every service in the world.
Don't forget the original, Netflix and Amazon. Netflix.
Yeah, all of them.
Actually, you're being a hypocrite. And I have you dead to rights.
Go ahead.
We have talked about on this show, and we have been nostalgic about Blockbuster, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, why did you have no problem paying a Blockbuster membership fee and then the $3.99 to rent the movies? Amazon Prime now serves as the modern-day Blockbuster. You're paying that fee, and then you are renting the movies.
No, I'll tell you why. It's a great point. I loved Blockbuster, but it's different because we're buying so many streaming services.
Right.
Like, that's not their fault.
And by the way, I had a free Blockbuster card because my girlfriend worked there.
Oh, look at you.
Nice. It's about the fact that, like, HBO Max is another example. If you have every service... Like every one of them, all the big ones. Think about what you're paying per month.
Yeah,
for access to movies, TV shows, sports, the whole thing.
And a lot of people also have cable still.
Yes, which is I'm one of them. To then throw out another $3.99 because Netflix doesn't have it or Max doesn't have it feels like a slap in the face.
But that's not Amazon's fault.
I'm not blaming Amazon, Sean. I'm saying morally, I can't do it. One of those services needs to have the movie.
Right.
Tiki agrees with me.
Agreed.
Thank you. Argue with him. You guys love to argue with me. Argue with Tiki.
It's
like you're
argue.
Afraid of him.
I don't want to argue with Tiki.
Why?
Because he's right.
He thinks he can prove you wrong, but not me.
I know when I have you in a corner. When I have Tiki, I just got to work on that.
Now, we just had the discussion. Do you think you actually beat me in the corner?
I do, because you don't realize that Amazon is the modern-day Blockbuster.
By the way,
the bottom line is
just watch My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah. I'm going to watch My Cousin Vinny, and I will leave you with this.
How long does it take to cook grits?
If there weren't the world we live in where we're buying 10 different services, I think Amazon Prime is brilliant. And I remember as a kid, when the internet first started, I'm going to sound like Al Gore for a second, how I invented something. 1999, I'm sitting there with my parents and I said, I got a great idea. Here's the future. And they're like, what's that? I said, so all these Blockbuster videos are going to be on the computer. And we rent it through the computer and we watch it on the computer. And that's basically the world we live in. But I didn't think... This 17-year-old brain didn't factor in. I'm buying 15 other services, though. Like, I'll pay $3.99, but I'm not paying $3.99 when I also pay $250 to have every other service. Mm. Thank you.
You on drugs?
We'll get back to your calls in a second. 888-808-1019. And we finish a debate that we started earlier in the week. We were talking about the worst coaches in recent Giant history and recent Jet history. And it clearly came down to it's Adam Gase for the Jets and it's Joe Judge for the Giants. Well, what if we pitted them against each other in the Super Bowl of bad recent New York coaches? So the other day, and it was natural, I didn't plan it out. We were having a discussion about the Jets and the Giants, obviously hope for a new season. Good hope with the Jets with a brand new head coach, certainly the hope around the talent that the Giants roster added. And we were talking about the four most recent Giant coaches, including Brian Daboll. And we were debating who the worst of the group was. And Tiki had an opinion. Tommy had an opinion. Sean had an opinion. I even tweeted out a poll like, all right, between the four of Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur, Joe Judge, and we'll include Brian Daboll, who's the worst? And it was funny. Like, there was a lot of different opinions on it. But overall, on social media, it was Joe Judge.
Yeah. For the Giants. Yeah.
For the Giants. Now, I think it was you, Sean, who said, hey, what about the Jets? And I'm like, oh, I'll do that. Like, we are the masters of pain. Like, we love talking about pain.
Right.
So I, too, took the four most recent Jet coaches after Rex Ryan, who obviously had success. And, of course, those four guys are Todd Bowles, Adam Gase, Robert Saleh, and Jeff Ulbrich. And I did the same thing. And even more overwhelming than Joe Judge was Adam Gase. So I figured here at 4:42 on this beautiful Friday... we would engage in this discussion on who is worse, Adam Gase or Joe Judge.
Right.
Now, I'm a Jet fan. You guys are Giant guys. I don't know what that bias does. I don't know if that makes us want to say our guy is worse or actually rip the other guy more. So, Tiki started off as an IFO.
Yes. This is easy.
Who is worse?
It's complicated because I never felt like Adam Gase had a real shot at being good here.
Right.
It just felt not disconnected, whatever. But I did feel like Joe Judge had a chance to be good. So is it worse that he screwed that up? Or is it worse because you never really had a chance? And so ultimately, I think I have to go with the you didn't just never had a chance. Because I think the circumstances around Joe Judge got murky and I don't know, distorted. And it wasn't his staff. And it never was his. It never felt like his.
Right, right.
So the fact that it got screwed up, it's his fault because he's ultimately in charge. But it was kind of everybody's fault. And he didn't have a general manager that I don't know, trusted him in any way or shape or form. So, but I'm still going to say it was Adam Gase.
Now, just so you know, just to give you the facts behind this, Adam Gase in his career with the New York Jets had a record of 9-23. Mm. Joe Judge, 10-23.
Wow.
They almost had, and the only reason they don't have the exact same record is obviously Judge coached in 21,
yep,
where there was an extra game.
Yep.
So 9-23, 10-23.
That's amazing.
It really is.
It is. So what is your opinion on the subject, Sean?
I actually have given this a lot of thought, and I keep coming back to this. When Joe Judge was hired, he won the press conference. We had an open mind. He had a decently competitive season. He was also a special teams coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Gase didn't even have the calling card as an offensive guy. I've given the Jets a really good offense. So I think when you consider all of that, and Jet fans hated the hire the moment it happened, I think knowing the expectations were low and still meeting those low expectations and not even doing anything well offensively, while the other guy didn't even have a calling card to lean on, I got to go with Gase is worse.
That he was worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes down to how you want to measure it because there was more positive moments with Joe Judge than there ever was with Adam Gase. In fact, there were no positive moments with Adam Gase as head coach. You nailed it. Like, it wasn't just Joe and I screaming and yelling about the hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one liked it. Remember, they started.
Who was the best player?
The best player on what? The Jets those years?
Yeah, the Jets. Like, was there someone who got better and you could say, well, that was because Adam Gase did whatever?
I'm trying to
Jamal
think.
Jamal Adams?
Yeah. I mean, Jamal Adams was okay, I guess.
If that works.
Yeah, I don't know. Quinnen Williams. That would be the guy. Because
right,
Quinnen
guy.
Was a part of that era.
That's a good point.
Leonard Williams was on that team. But yeah, no, the answer is Quinnen, because Quinnen's still here.
Yeah, like, of course.
He's the one guy who survived it.
Right.
That's why when you look into Quinnen Williams' eyes, nothing but respect.
Right.
Because that guy saw the worst.
Right.
That guy saw the worst. And here he is on the other side hoping it gets better. Mm-hmm. So I think if you view it as where was it the worst, it's Adam Gase, because it was never good. Even the 7-win year he had in year one, they started 1-7.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they were ever in it. Joe Judge gave you hope in the first year. So if you're disqualifying somebody for how like the hope was or the expectations were, it'd be Judge. And by the way, to do research for this, do you know what I did last night?
No.
So just to defend myself first, I stayed up very late last night because I am driving after the show today down in North Carolina. So I'm driving in the middle of the night. So what I do when I make these long trips is I stay up really late the night before, then I sleep in. So my hours are a little different, right?
Makes sense.
So I stayed up till like 3 a.m. last night. I watched Joe Judge press conference.
Oh, come on.
I did. I watched the one that we all remember, where he got really defensive and he talked about other situations.
Right at the end. Yes.
And he bashed Shermer, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Judge is such an idiot. The press conference was over. It was done. Pat Hanlon, I heard him in the back, like, all right, one more.
All right, that's it, guys.
And he decided to just not shut up. And he made it worse.
Maybe he wanted to get fired.
Why?
I wanted to be someplace else.
You're never
Knew it was dead.
Batik, he was never getting another head coaching job. It was over.
Maybe he didn't want another job. Maybe he wanted to go back to Bill.
You really think so?
I'm speculating. I have no idea. But it didn't make any sense. Did he? He literally talked himself out of it.
He not only talked himself out of the job. All I could hear. What would you compare Joe Judge to when you used to hear him speak? Was there anything that jumped out at you, derogatory about Judge? Where he reminds me of this. He reminds me.
No, it reminded me of Belichick minus 400 wins.
No, what I was going to ask you, I'll be more specific. Minus 400 wins. Did he not remind you of a gym teacher?
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. The over hoodie, the whistle, the whole thing.
So I do have to give credit. The first guy I heard say that was actually Carton. He said it to me early on. He's like, the guy's a gym teacher. And I'm like, I don't see it.
Right.
But you know how sometimes after a while the glass breaks and you're like, oh my God.
Right, now it makes sense.
Holy crap. I am now watching this press conference years after he was fired.
Uh-huh.
I do have the memory of the gym teacher comment. The dude was a gym teacher. Oh my God.
Mandelbaum from Seinfeld.
Yeah, dude.
Does that make it worse?
Kind of.
But aren't all football coaches gym teachers?
Dude, I look back at Joe Judge and I wonder why we all believed. What an idiot we all were.
Yeah,
well,
we were.
You know why we believed?
Why?
Because that first, well, first of all, the first press conference we talked about, but like, I remember training camp that first year.
Yeah.
It was like, this feels badass. This feels old school. This feels they're going to buy in because it feels like how they grew up playing football. It just felt like real. Like, this dude's got it. And then the infighting started and they started losing. And then he started talking his way out of it.
Yeah.
And it was also.
So that's why I was having this debate in my mind when you bring this up. Like, he had a chance to be good at this.
Yeah.
And he screwed it up.
Definitely.
So is that worse or better?
That's where I think it actually could be worse.
Right.
Because there was hope with him.
Right.
But I
at least there was never hope. Like, you knew from jump, it was like, this is over.
1,000% hopeless. But I watched his first press conference, too. You know, the one we all waxed poetic about. I remember Joe and I were on live during it, and afterwards we're like, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was really impressive. And even Joe, who's like, he downplays every press conference. And he's like, I got to tell you, bro, I don't usually like these days. It was pretty good.
Right.
I rewatched it. We overrated it.
Did we?
But it also.
We did, bro. He was a gym teacher.
Even in the first press conference?
Yes.
The missing golden link here is he gave that press conference immediately following Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur.
Yeah. Mm.
So.
Oh, that's right. So what we're expecting is.
Yeah.
All right. Just be average.
And he went back to, we got to go, you know, we got to play like New Yorkers and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
He came from two of the worst head coaches we had ever seen and then sold us in the press conference. So we were also looking for hope and then got fed that. If he followed Coughlin, I think he would have been destroyed even more.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Which matters.
By the way, what unfortunately McAdoo had to deal with.
Right.
He followed Coughlin.
No, you're right.
And his suit didn't fit.
Exactly.
So the poll I put out, who was worse, Judge or Adam Gase? Mm-hmm. Overwhelming.
Gase.
79% say Adam Gase. Mm. So I think people look at it as there was never a chance, hence he was the worst.
Right.
Artie in Brooklyn. Artie, what's up, baby?
Hey, Artie.
You know I'm the devil's advocate, right?
Yes.
I'm not related to Gase, okay? But I remember you and Joe destroyed the move. I know it reminded you of Kotite, but you got to be fair, okay?
Yeah.
The company won 7 games with our young Sam Darnold, right?
Right.
His second year coming back, it was like a disaster. And all he had to do was lose the freaking Rams, and they won. But that does have to say something about the coach when your season's over and they beat the bleeping Rams. Like, I mean, you compare, look, I think he's good. You're saying that guy, Goldbright, whatever the heck his name is, was so in over his head. It's that move, and you called it out. I remember you saying it. You didn't like Salah, but you said it's not worth making the move. That's destroyed. And you know what's funny? I love Glenn. If you didn't fire him, Salah might still be here. All he needed was a bleeping kicker, and Salah would have been here.
Well, thank you, Artie. A couple of things you said a lot. Number one.
Kind of right about the kicker thing.
Yeah, well, last year's very complicated. I'll get to that in a second. On Gase, they started 1-7.
Right.
So you could tell me all day how strong they finished, and they did. They won 6 out of their last 8 games.
Right.
They also did it with, statistically, the worst offense in football. And he was supposed to be an offensive-minded head coach with a young quarterback in Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
They were 32nd in the NFL in offense. I'm not exaggerating.
Both years?
No, the year they went 7-9.
I know, but what about the next year?
The next year they were 32nd, yes.
Yeah.
They were both.
That's what I thought.
But the second year when they started 0-13 and they won the Ram game, and most Jet fans were upset when they won the Ram game. And remember, they should have won the Raider game. It took the Greg Williams defensive call that handed the Raiders the win
right.
in week 13. dude, there's nothing positive about any of that. Like, ooh, they finished strong. They were 1-7. They're the worst offense in football. Who cares that they finished strong? They finished 7-9. So I think Adam Gase is the worst. As far as Saleh's concerned, and look, there are two things that jump out at me about last year. Tommy's not here to defend himself. He should just take an L. Do you remember the fight me and Tommy had about Robert Gase?
Robert Saleh.
About Robert Saleh?
Vaguely.
I was turning on Saleh, and Tommy was pushing they have to fire him. And this was 3 weeks into the season. And I said, Tommy, I don't think Saleh's a good coach, but firing him is team suicide.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't baseball.
Which is exactly what happened when they fired him after week five.
Which is why that argument still haunts me. Because everything I said, and I wasn't defending Saleh, it was more, this doesn't work. And he's like, why not? Yeah, positive Tommy, why not?
Right.
And I'm like, because it will fail. And then they do it. I hated it, not because I thought Saleh was any good, but because it doesn't work in the NFL.
Right, and it also, there wasn't a clear alternative. Like, who are you hiring off of that promoting off of that staff?
It shouldn't have been Ulbrich. It should have been the special teams coordinator.
Exactly. Or anyone else.
That's what they should have done.
The best part of that team, the Saleh's team during his tenure, was the defense.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're taking this defensive coordinator and you're splitting his duties, and knowing Jeff Ulbrich, and really not knowing, but just listening to Jeff Ulbrich, he wanted to do both.
Right.
Like, he didn't want to give up his defense. And so he had no chance at being a head coach trying to be a defensive coordinator for the first time. A head coach for the first time while being a defensive coordinator. He had no chance.
And the thing I'll disagree with Artie about is, let's say they kept Robert Saleh. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, they probably win. They went 5-12.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say they go 7-10 again?
Yeah.
That's probably accurate, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I was trying to pinpoint certain games, but that seems right.
Well, just look, they were 3-9 under Ulbrich. He was in over his head. I can't give them 6 extra wins.
No.
But I could give them 2 and say they go 5-7 in those 12 games instead of 3-9.
Yeah, maybe that Patriot loss is a win if Ulbrich's focused on the defense.
I think so, and maybe.
And Saleh's still there.
All gas, 100%. No break.
So let's say that happens, right? And they go 7-10 again. He's gone.
Right. Because that's what happens. That happened to Arthur Smith.
Yes.
In Atlanta. They weren't horrible, but they were 7-11 or 7, whatever it was. He won 7 games every year.
And that's not enough eventually. That would have been their third consecutive 7-win season, 2 of them in the Aaron Rodgers era. He wasn't going to survive. Now, let's go crazy. Let's say they win 3 more games. Mm. And now they finish 8-9. Same thing. He's fired.
He's fired. And now you don't reach. You've lost Membu and you draft Jackson Dart.
Shut up. Forget the draft for a second. I get how it impacts. I'm not even talking about it.
You do have Jackson Dart.
Maybe. But the point is, Saleh's still fired and Glenn is still the coach.
Yes.
Like, other than making the playoffs, he was going to get fired.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't think it really would have changed that much. The draft thing is getting into the weeds. I don't even know if that's the case. And the reason I still don't know if that's the case is Aaron Glenn, assuming still takes the job, which I think he would, even off an 8-win season, I think they probably still sign Justin Fields. And he's probably in that same boat. So, yeah, they don't get Membu, to your point, Sean. But, no, I don't think they're reaching on a quarterback, because they never did. They never went after a quarterback.
No, they didn't.
They could have drafted Jackson Dart. We talked about that as a possibility.
We knew that Aaron Glenn wasn't going to take the quarterback.
Exactly.
He's not going to reach for it.
Right, so if they were picking 3 or 4 picks later, I don't think it would have made a difference, to your point. I don't know what the point of that was.
It wasn't.
It was just to have fun and laugh. It's a Friday, dude.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Meaning,
it's funny.
We have your quarterback. Beef. What was that?
We have your potential quarterback.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
That's what he's doing.
Yeah. You could have had our quarterback, haha, if you kept Robert Saleh.
We don't know if this guy's any good yet.
We do, Evan. Let's just be honest.
We know what?
We know Dart's the goods. Come on.
Yeah, Dart's going to be good.
How do we know that?
We've seen enough. Tell.
He's got the personality. He's got the physical skills.
But
he's got the touch.
I think DeVito might be the answer.
He's got the football IQ. You just see it.
There are certain things,
little signs.
Yeah, there are certain things, if you pay attention to the signs, you just know. And I think we're sitting on a gold mine here.
Okay, hold on. This is a very challenging discussion I'm about to have, because I like Jackson Dart.
Yep.
And I don't think what you said was wrong about some of the attributes we've noticed about him. Mm-hmm. I'm not arguing that. But for the two of you to sit here and just say, we know.
Yeah, he's going to be good.
We don't know.
We've seen, here's the difference between us and you.
I look at Dickie. We do know.
Evan, here's the thing. You've only seen failures in drafting a quarterback. We've seen failures and winning in drafting a quarterback. We see the difference.
Right, exactly.
We know.
By the way, NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount+. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
I'm going to end the discussion without saying anything else other than if I retort to you guys and keep fighting, I'm a bad guy and yes. I'm a hater.
Yes, because you are throwing shade. Without evidence.
I'm not throwing any shade.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. So you can't combat us because there's no evidence to the contrary of what we're saying.
What I will tell you.
Yet.
He hasn't played yet. No, I agree.
He has played. He played a preseason game.
Come on.
And he looked pretty damn good.
We haven't seen him play a regular season NFL game.
Doesn't matter. But we have seen him play a preseason game.
I understand.
And it was positive.
Yeah.
So the evidence to the contrary is not available to us yet. Eventually it will be. He'll look terrible.
But
he'll throw some stupid mistakes.
But I've also seen
interceptions. He'll take dumb sacks. He'll fumble. That'll get returned for a touchdown. All that's going to happen in the preseason. And then we can have a conversation. But until we see that, there is no evidence to the contrary of what Evan and I are espousing.
Hence why I'm not saying he's going to be bad or anything. Yes. I'm just saying we don't know yet he's going to be good. And you guys are assuming he will be good. And I'm just saying we don't know yet. And it reminds me of an early discussion we all had in which I said the exact same thing about Daboll after the first year. Mm-hmm. I said to you guys, he had a great first year. There is no evidence to say he won't be a good head coach. But I've seen way too many coaches have success in year one.
Yep.
And then it turns out not to be the answer. There is more evidence than not that I'll be right about that.
Yeah.
No, it may not be because Daboll could have a great fourth year. But to me, it's kind of the same thing.
With coaches, though, it's different because I necessarily... And this is any coach in any sport, I necessarily have to cross-reference it with the level of talent on the team.
No, you're right about that.
Because it is utterly unfair to judge a coach if he has a crappy team.
And that is where Adam Gase deserves some credit because he had no talent
Maybe he was not as bad as Joe Judge.
Very, very quick break. We'll come back. Sean will have a Cinco de 5-0 list. We'll get to the baseball. We'll set you up for a busy night tonight. Mets against the Mariners. The Yankees in St. Louis against the Cardinals. We'll check in on both lineups and give you some thoughts.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.